Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and yes, I am live tonight. Tonight, I first of all want to say thank you very much for listening, but I also want to give my condolences to and joy and appreciation for a man who died on October 24th, and that would be Ted Andrews. Ted Andrews was a master. He was one of my teachers. I constantly am looking at his books, Animal Speaks and Animal Wise, along with Enchantment of the Fairy Realm. I mean, he has really touched my life and just empowered me and enlightened me in so many ways about nature. And I feel his passing is a sad one, like there were so many people leaving. But at the same time, I was very blessed to actually physically meet him and have him on the show. So I do want to send out my very best to his family and to everybody who is kind of like in a community who has studied his work. He has left quite the legacy of wonderful wisdom for us all to learn from. So if you want to know anything about nature, I truly recommend that you look up Ted Andrews. He is on the website. His life has been phenomenal, and he has really changed a lot of people's outlook about animals, especially, and about nature. He was very much a very big bird person. He was very big with the hawks and the eagles and the owls, and very much connected with the wolves as well. So he was very well versed in the animal world, and he really, like I said, he taught me a lot, and it was really a pleasure to do his workshop and to talk to him one-to-one on my own experiences with animals. Now, tonight's subject, I am opening the phone lines. I have a dear friend, Elizabeth, who is going to be calling in soon, and I thank her for calling in. We had a discussion today on Facebook, and it really was about how they really don't warn you about the downside of the spiritual journey. They always say, think positive, and that positive thing will come. Well, it's not always easy to go there. In my own life, I have been very, very blessed with the fact that I kind of had a copy of my script and or manual of what I was creating in my life at the age of 13. I had a dream that lasted 30 days, and it literally was about 30 years of my life. So I knew I was going to pay, literally, for my lessons in many, many ways. So I had a heads up. The only other thing that I want to say about that dream is it really did come true. Now, there's two ways you can think of it, and I did write about this on Facebook as well, is you can think about it in the fact that at 13, they planted a seed for me to know of the possibilities, and yes, it could have changed because I did delay, literally, the lessons from that dream, 19 years by getting married. I knew before I got married that my life was going in a different path that I was delaying. Literally, I did not want to get married yet. I did out of obligation. And being really kind of not ready to really take the plunge into my spiritual journey and my true awareness. So I kind of delayed things. So for the last 9 years, I've been playing makeup. 30 years in 9 years. You can tell, it was accelerated. But in the same way, I'm glad I had it accelerated because I don't know if I could have handled 30 years of what I went through. So there is a lot of hard times. And I know there's a lot of spiritual people who are being very positive and having wonderful, wonderful lives that are very prosperous. But a majority of us really do not feel as abundant and prosperous. And, you know, it's like, when is it going to be my turn? I hear it a lot. There is a lot of people who give away their readings. And I don't want to give away too much because I really want to have this discussion with Elizabeth. But also, if you have anything you want to vent and get off your chest, because a lot of what this is about, this show is about self-expression, first and foremost, and the spiritual journey. And yes, I have been extremely, extremely blessed in many of the adventures, and I do call them adventures, on my spiritual journey. Was some of them really, really tough and very hard? Yes. I wasn't on last week. They replayed one of my shows because I was supposed to move. But because of financial situations and things falling apart at the last minute, I decided not to move yet. But yet I was getting all these signs to move. It was time. It was a rebirthing. It was time to move forward in a different direction, in a new area where I really felt I had a good, strong support community. And that is the energy of now, is finding your community, your support system. A lot of people in spirituality on their journey, they go into isolation, what I call hermit mode. And you go in your houses and you adjust to it and you do what you're told by spirit. And when it doesn't quite turn out, you say, okay, I didn't discern the information. I didn't translate the information. I didn't perceive the information quite right. But yet, one thing I have noticed in this last week is I really did a very interesting thing. They told me it's time to write my book. Now, I actually have been writing on this book for the last 9 years because it's loosely based on my experience. But as I was reading what I went through, I now, on hindsight and on a more witness looking at what's around me, I understand a lot more and a more deeper level, the journey I chose, the experience I've chosen. It isn't easy, folks, and God bless each one of you for taking that plunge. Now, Elizabeth is with us. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hello, Jennifer. I am wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm here, and I've decided to call this almost like a bitching session, but it's really... It's really, you know, there's so many people out there that need to vent. And we were doing quite the session today on Facebook, and it was just, it was good to have that kind of support.
Yes, it is. And so many people don't get that.
They're afraid to, don't you think?
I think that we have put so much pressure on people to think positively, to live their life in a state of joy and light and compassion, that when they feel less than that, they almost feel guilty or ashamed that they're not living their intention. And it is such a human condition, particularly at this time in our evolution.
Yes.
This is giving birth to that shadow side. And acknowledging that it's there, I think it's a mistake to tell people that they must be feeling this joy and this compassion and all this love for each other when that's not what they're feeling in the moment.
No. And it's really not being true to self either, which is not being authentic to oneself either.
Exactly. It's being in denial.
Right, and it's pushing it down, the anger. I mean, there's I know for me, I've had many clients have, and I know you have done this as well, we literally had great intentions. We give somebody a reading, and they just walk away and don't even think about giving us a donation or paying us for our time and our services when they know this is how we make our living. Now, a lot of people feel that readings and advisement, spiritual advisement and coaching should be free. I would love to be able to do it for free, but this is my living. This is how I make and pay my bills. And I literally told Spirit at the beginning of my journey 9 years ago, I will do these for free when I know for sure I have a passive income or for sure all my bills are paid. I put it out there. Love to do it when I can afford to do it, no problem. And yet, I lost probably up to at least $10,000 with people just basically refusing to pay me. And they knew they were supposed to pay me. They agreed to pay and they said, no, I don't want to, so I'm not going to.
I don't have that experience.
Oh, I do. And it's, you know, I've really literally given it to God and I said, that's fine, it's my lesson. I'll, from now on, it's prepay only, if that's the terms that I'm on. And, but yet at the same time, it's hard not to hold back what I want to do naturally because I've been burned.
Well, you know, this is how I look at it. Today I went down to my local farmer's market. I live down in Redondo Beach. So I'm about a mile from the ocean, and they set up this area just south of the Redondo Beach Pier for a farmer's market, you know, flowers and fresh fruits and vegetables and wonderful things. And I got out of my car, and I noticed a situation, a parking situation, with a man, like, standing next to his car, and he's waving to a woman, said, I'll move, you can park here. And she had responded to him, saying, no, I'll find a place. And there was kind of a little bit of tension there. And he says, no, I'll move my car. She goes, no, and she's looking over her shoulder, looking for a way to go. And I walked by her, and I was moved to say to her, there is someone here offering you a gift. A man offering you something, mm-hmm. and you're not receiving it. And it's always wise to receive when someone is offering you something. And she said, oh, you know what? You're right. And I just went on my way. And I might say this in a friendly, smiling kind of off the cuff. Well, I saw them, the two of them were actually a couple, and I saw them later walking through the market. And he smiled at me with such a sincere smile. And she looked up at me, and I realized that they were together. And I said, "Oh, he's your man? Oh, honey, you always want to receive from your man." And she said, "You know, you don't know that what you said to me today is going to change the way I think for the rest of my life." And I said, "Oh, how sweet." And she goes, "You're a life coach, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, yes, I am." And we went on our way. We give that kind of stuff, and healers and light workers cannot help but just do what we do, always.
Yes.
But if somebody calls me and asks me specifically for a session of my time, an hour session, or a 90-minute session of a psychic reading or a healing of any kind, body work or anything, mm-hmm. They know what my rates are, and I don't mm-hmm. think I've ever had anyone say, I'm not going to pay you, ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been very blessed because I have.
Well, I think that's just terrible.
So, well, it is. And so it was my lesson. And I do have Ken on line two, and I like to bring him in because I think I know who this is. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Jen. How you doing?
Good. It's somebody
Hello,
else that I've been... who totally understands me. This is Ken. He is actually in Yuma, and he is an awesome healer. you do it all. I mean, you really do. So he is a teacher. And what do you have to say to this discussion?
I think it was very interesting that Spirit guided me to click on your show, and I was looking at Facebook and saw the subject matter come up, and this has totally been the way of the world, it seems like, lately. You know, the same thing. Every healer and worker that I've talked to, they give tools to clients that don't use them, that just want a quick fix. They won't take responsibility for their own wellness on a spiritual level, let alone the physical level. On the dark side of the spirit path, I think I sort of realized at a very early age that it was the whole concept of being a light worker means that you're walking in the dark and it is constantly around you. It's constantly bombarding you. And no, there's definitely days when I don't feel like I want to help any of these sheep out there. But like you were saying too just a minute ago, Elizabeth, it's not like we have a choice. Our spirits just, like, demand to give out what we've been drawing in. Today I was, a little bit of background. Jen just sent me a book recently, an e-book, by Karen Bishop.
Yes.
Yes.
And that really rattled my cage because I'm in Yuma right now, which is probably the lowest frequency, densest area I have ever been in my life. It's like another planet. And I came down here, and I'm working with my dad on his healing, and decided, well, you know, I'm going to do what I do, not go take some little job that's not going to cover what I need anyway. And I decided I was going to create an alternative network down here between the couple of practitioners that do exist. And I discovered that all of the people here in town are in isolation, like you were discussing. All of them hide. They don't want to admit here that they are light workers, that they have a spiritual path. And it's literally like even the old boy group down in City Hall that tries to keep it that way. But I had a recent shift right after reading that ebook. Part of what it was saying in the ebook was how a lot of the light workers, we used to congregate in areas like in Tucson. There used to be a huge network of people there. And we all stayed in touch, and we were all out in public for years. And then all of a sudden, everybody went into our isolations and didn't want to do healing work as much anymore. We weren't appreciated. We weren't paid. Things like that. I realized in the book, it was talking about how a lot of the light workers, they've raised their vibration as much as they're going to. And a lot of us are scattering out to low, dense frequency vibrational areas because there are still people way out in the middle of no place that they don't think they need it, but their spirits are screaming. Because I got down here, and after reading that, I was talking with a group of people, and the next thing I know, we now have an investor who's looking at renting or leasing or buying a 7,800 square foot space to bring in nine of us to do healing work and set up a wellness center that's based on community education and outreach programs. So I'm feeling renewed on some levels that there is still a place where I can go and do my work where it's needed. But it's definitely about fighting the darkness even here. You know, it's the, like, 2 years of being unemployed, basically. And, you know, I can call it self-employment, but the fact remains that it was pretty much unemployment. So
And it's been about 2 years for you?
Sorry.
2 years for you. Well, I've been talking to some of my colleagues here in the Southern California who said the same thing. It's been about a 2-year drought, even for the body work, the body workers, the massage therapists, who were always busy in the 90s, booked hour after hour. And all of a sudden, it just began to dry up.
And I think
a lot of that has to do with timing.
Right.
Jen, you and I were talking about that today earlier about... And also I was talking to another body worker today about it. A lot of this is about the timing of the global shift. this dark stuff is about a rebirth. We're in a contraction, and it feels like a contraction, and it feels like the dark energy is pushing back. It's pushing back, and that's the contraction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the lighter vibration, when that contraction subsides, the lighter vibration will ascend. And so this groundwork that we've been doing all these years that feels so unappreciated and not easily compensated, you know, my affirmation, my intention always is I'm richly compensated for all of my talents and gifts. And, you know, but like you, I'm self-employed, but my massage business really is not as busy as it was 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a psychic medium for 30 years, a healer for 30 years. I've never seen it like this.
Well, it's interesting because Karen Bishop literally said the last 2 years was really when the darkness came and hit all the light workers, and it's slowly, ever so slowly, lifting, like you said. It is a rebirth. And something else that she mentioned in a recent energy newsletter that she does, she said that, you know, nobody's going to be left alone. I mean, if you are a light worker, trust me, you've got the support coming. But one thing that she is saying is you can't have any baggage. And I find that fascinating when a lot of the light workers, and me included, have had to use credit cards and are now in debt because we weren't supported for the last 2, 3, 4 years. And now I feel like I'm being punished because I'm being held back because I did what I needed to do to survive.
You are now speaking the exact words that I heard from another worker in Idlewild, California on Tuesday. The exact words. He says, I just feel like the universe is not supporting me. I keep getting the intuitive hit that I'm on the right path and mm-hmm. I need to keep moving. I need to keep doing my work. But I have credit card debt. His credit is ruined. It's been awful for him.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a friend who
told me just to walk away from it all. I'm sorry, I was raised to be too responsible, and we are supposed to take responsibility for what we created. And I know I created this. I understand where all the money went. I did have some fun. I'll admit it. I took some great trips during that. And yeah, I used my credit card. But if I hadn't, I would have been totally insane by now. I would have lost it. So
I lucked out that I didn't have the debt, but this last 2 years of being, what I said, unemployed,
mm-hmm.
in a weird sense, I had, during the same time frame about 2 years ago, when I really just didn't want to deal with clients anymore. I really was frustrated and angry and didn't want to deal with it, and I ended up getting into some issues on a political level that put me in a rough spot. But to say the least, I ended up hitchhiking back across country with no money and just the clothes on my back from Virginia all the way back to Tucson. And I traveled cross country just very synchronistically meeting people, and we'd talk, and the next thing I know, I'd do a healing session, and I had a place to stay and meals for a couple of days. And when I got back to Tucson, I ended up moving to Phoenix. And for the last 2 years, I have been literally bill-free. I have done my healing work for free. And by the grace of God, I've always had somebody. Like I had a friend in Phoenix that says, well, come on out. I stayed with them for a month, and they realized that they actually saved money because I was cooking and cleaning and doing my thing, so they decided I didn't have to pay rent. So on some levels, the universe supported me a lot, just not in doing the work that I really felt like doing.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because Karen Bishop mentions that in her ebook. She has two e-books, by the way, folks. One is Heaven's Gate, which is the ascension process, what you're going to be going through, some ideas of what you need to do. The other one is called, Kim, what's the name of the other one?
Oh, I should remember, but I don't.
My mind goes blank. She just let that out, and basically it goes over exactly the final stages of going over what she calls the dimensional border. And on the other side of the border, folks, it's like what Ken's been living, being bill free, but doing it through barter and through trade, and understanding that, you know, every once in a while you might get paid, but on another level, everything is given to you in such a way that you don't worry about money. In many ways, I've had that experience here and there, but I've also had the other where, you know, they said they were going to pay me, and then after we did the sessions, because he felt so comfortable with me, they said, we're friends now, so I don't have to pay you, and literally disappeared.
Never, but
you know,
as a teacher, I have to say, Jennifer, as a teacher, I would have to say that somewhere in your energy awareness is that belief.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's you're definitely creating that.
Oh, most definitely. I understand that, and I've worked on it. I mean, I don't have those situations. That was more like 5-6 years ago that happened.
Oh.
I really haven't had it recently. I've learned. And, you know, I recently got a new form of, I'm working on a different website now that I am. I'm getting good, consistent income now. But, you know, October 2008, the website I've been working on for the last 8 years literally kicked me off, and I lost 2,500 clients with no notice. Sorry, we don't like you anymore. Bye-bye.
Wow.
All my income evaporated in a heartbeat.
Wow.
It's like, okay, maybe I should be doing readings for a while. So, you know, it was very interesting how it happened. But yes, I understand I created those scenarios, and I know exactly how I created it. And the mirrors that I had in front of me telling me exactly what's going on, I recognize that now. It doesn't mean I don't have a lesson. You know, I've remembered that lesson so strongly because that's a lot of money for people just to flat out refuse to pay.
Yeah.
You know, too, I think a lot of times when it comes to, like, us going through this shift, going into the borderlands, as it might be said, it's a lot different. Like, all three of us have been working 20, 25, 30 plus years on our path.
Right.
And there was no handbook when we first started. We're the ones that were writing the first handbooks that now people are using, and they get in 1 week what it took us years to gain. Because we didn't realize when we first started, maybe necessarily, the power of affirmation, for example. So our beliefs may have been set up along the lines of everything that I need is provided. Not necessarily everything I want, but everything I need. So that's what I created. In 20 years of doing that affirmation, I got it every time. If I'd have started 25 years ago going, I am abundantly wealthy and able to share my wealth with all, who knows, I might be Deepak Chopra right now.
Yeah,
you know,
hindsight is beautiful, isn't it?
Writing 100 books.
yeah,
hindsight, it's one of the understated psychic tools. I think we need to develop it a little bit more towards the other end.
Yeah, with that, though, affirmations are great. But in that moment, if you need to express it doesn't feel good, it's okay to be in that moment and say it feels good, but just don't hold on to it too long and let it go and understand that What is the belief that's making you feel that way, or for you to create that, and bring that out and understand it? So you do understand the shadow side of you and accept it and understand sometimes you're going to be pissed, and it's okay.
Oh, definitely.
Well, and, you know, the universal law that what you resist persists, and if it persists in your body, then you're going to end up with, you know, gallstones and liver problems and ulcers and
cancer and all kinds
on your face. Exactly. But, you know, Harry Palmer, who is a great explorer of consciousness, created an avatar program, and he created a technique to delete experiences, to delete reality, to delete creations very quickly, a six-step process. That you feel what you're feeling, you allow yourself to feel it completely without any judgment whatsoever. Really observe it from a higher plane. See where it's in your body and where it expands beyond your body as a in the vibrational plane. And then separate from yourself and look at it from the outside. So as you're experiencing it, you're holding it in your field, in your body, in your aura, and then you remove yourself from it and observe it from the outside. You understand? And
yes.
Then you just turn off the switch to it, because if you are experiencing it, whatever it is, you are creating it, and you are the only one that can turn off that vibration. And as soon as you turn off the switch, as soon as you recognize this is not me, these feelings are not who I am, these thoughts are not who I am, this experience, in fact, is not who I am, it is separate from me. I am its creator, and I am now its discreator, and you turn off the switch to it, and it literally dissipates. And then you go back to your primary intention, your affirmation, as you call it. You know, I'm abundantly, you know, compensated for all of my gifts and talents, and that's your intention. Well, if something, if you're not experiencing that intention, that affirmation, then you have what he calls a secondary belief that's preventing you from having that experience. And that's the stuff in the shadow side. That's our shadow part. All of those old beliefs that we developed as children, that money doesn't grow on trees and only selfish people have money and rich people are selfish, and, I mean, all those childhood beliefs. But when we just keep saying the affirmation over and over again, it doesn't get us very far, because what we're trying to bury the belief, the original belief, the original cause of why you don't have money right now, or why you're angry right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I think is pretty much, and I'm going to make it a general statement here, that a lot of light workers has as one of their core issues, core beliefs, is I'm not worthy. Sometime, somewhere, you have that experience that you don't feel worthy. At least most of the light workers that I've talked to, that has been a really, you know, big issue for them to really value who they are, what they're doing, how they help people, and really feeling that success. The other one is really trusting themselves, trusting spirit. Because of the last 2 years, I was talking with Elizabeth, and I've talked to Ken. It's hard not to doubt yourself, because you're doubting the universe, and you're doubting everything is there to support you. So it's like this vicious cycle for the last couple of years that, you know, you can recognize it, and you can really say those affirmations, but you have to understand. I mean, I just got to the point that the more I surrendered, the lighter I got. And I surrendered those doubts. I totally trust in God. I trust in myself that I'm doing the right thing. It's not always easy at times, but overall, things have really improved lately, where a year ago, I was wondering how I was going to pay the mortgage. I did, and that's one thing I will say. My main needs were always met. I have always paid my bills. They have always been paid in one form or another. So I'm grateful for that. So getting to the core issue, as all three of us are teachers, we know if you get down to the core, those secondaries, those lighter kind of like, if you look at a tree almost, it's almost like one of those branches or limbs. If you get to the core ones, those other ones kind of fade out really quick because you'll recognize them. And
yes.
You'll be able to get through
right.
them much faster.
Absolutely.
And
I think your point about light workers. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that, I used to do a process in my healing work with people where they might have a certain fear or a certain anxiety or a certain tension that they responded to on a regular basis. And we visualize like a web and see where that was sitting on the web and then find all of the other things that were actually connected to the center of the web. And once you go into that core belief, that core central factor and deal with it, all the rest of them just fall apart. With very little work done, because you got to the one that was really the basis of all of those other fears. Once
I have
you can
a
release
question.
That one root cause.
What's your question, Elizabeth?
Do you have clients, do you think that some of your clients, because that this work really, it has been so refined over the 30 years we've been practicing, or however many years,
mm-hmm.
that the processes that we've learned over those years have become almost technologies that make it much easier, that things that took us, you know, years to process take minutes now to process.
Or even seconds.
Even seconds. And
like,
do you feel?
I can think of three universal laws you go through that as we were experiencing them, it was a hardship each time, and we thought we cleared it, and then it would come up again. But I have a 14-year-old daughter that was almost going into an issue, and I talked with her about it and shared life experiences. And she goes, oh, I get it. And boom, she changed everything in one day. And she carries that lesson.
So my question then is this. Do you think that our clients, our students, once they get it and they say something like, wow, is that it? That's it? That's so easy.
Yeah.
That they don't
exactly.
see the value in it because of the work that mm-hmm. we put into getting it to this place?
Well, I think all three of us are going to be writing books so they understand the struggles we went through. So they have it easier. And, well, if you think about it, it's every generation. I mean, if I talk to my parents about how it was when they grew up, I do have a great appreciation of having the internet, having TV, having a car. I understand, I mean, it's very interesting. I just talked to my nephews, and it's like, you want me to walk two blocks? No, let's take the car.
Yeah.
And I said, you are so lazy. And you start that, but we used to walk for miles. And it's just like, you hear yourself sounding just like your grandparents. Or, you know, all the stories you hear through the generations. So I do think that, yes, I think the new crop, shall we say, the new adventurers, really do have it much easier. As Karen Bishop said, we are the forerunners. We are the pioneers. We had the courage, the guts, and really the trust and the strength, inner strength, to know no matter what happened, we might have been depressed and saying, dear God, just take me now. But we knew we would get through. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, I was really blessed with that dream at 13 that showed me 30 years of me literally paying for my lessons. And, you know, they kept showing me bits and pieces of where I was in that dream the last 9 years because I got it accelerated since I delayed it. And I want to tell people, do not delay your lessons. Please.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just go through it. Get it over with.
And, you know, it really
so
is. It's all about that. It's all about that initial, as soon as you learn that you have an intuition and you begin to work with it and trust it, you know, and you get those messages. And even after 30 years, I still find myself ignoring them sometimes. You know, and it's as simple as like the little thing where you'll get the picture in your head. If I set this glass down here, I'm going to knock it over. And you do it anyway, and you do knock it over. You know, and a lot of it really does come down to us having walked that path to the point where we simplified it for ourselves so that we could understand these vast concepts. And then when we regurgitate this information, they pick up everything vibrationally, just like the Qigong masters in China used to disseminate their information. You might be verbally taught and physically instructed on some level, but 80% of it is actually coming across energetically. And it's all being set up as a pattern. And that's sort of what we're doing now, is we've set this pattern that's out there, and we've raised that frequency, and we're broadcasting at a very high frequency at a personal physical body level so that everybody that's around us is getting that information from us every second of every day. We're constantly expressing spiritual divine truth through our actions and our words. And it's not on a scale where we can charge for it anymore. It's out there to the point where everybody that's around us is picking up the radiatory healing and the information.
We have a value, and we are being paid. It might be in a different form than we may wish. And that's something that I recognize, is the fact that, you know, you might lend somebody $20, but you might get 40 from somebody else out of the blue in a whole different way. So, and that's something that a lot of people, it's like they expect things from the same source. Does it work that way? Now does it? Really, that's part of the awareness, is understanding the energy out does impact more than just the person you're talking to. And understanding that vibration really does, like a ripple in water, go outward. So we are all really, all three of us are really basically very positive people. We're very good at what we do. And because of what we have gone through, I just want to thank you two for doing the work, because I think a lot of people don't do it. And I appreciate you, because both of you have had conversations with me. You both have been there for me very supportively. And I just want to publicly and just really thank you for being part of my support and being part of my journey, because it's been awesome knowing both of you. I mean, I met both of you kind of in strange ways. I was putting an ad in the Tucson Weekly, and that's how I met Ken. I went up to Phoenix to go to the Celebrate Your Life to meet a friend that I met at a different conference, and I met Elizabeth. So it's just wonderful little connections that those communities are really, and I've come to understand that in the last couple weeks with the defunct move, which I still think I'm moving, it's just defunct right now, the support unit is there. I don't have to live in one place and have that physical face-to-face. It's there, and I just need to appreciate the people who I know are there, who love me, appreciate, and really accept me for whom what I am. And I just thank you guys for that.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It's definitely been a blessing knowing you these years, too. And there's so many times when, you know, like we were talking about the isolation aspect. Even when we are in isolation, I may not want to talk to a single soul and turn my phone off for weeks, but all of a sudden it would be someone like you that I'd be talking with.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be totally spirit-guided. So it's always interesting when we connect. There's always something shifting when we connect.
Yes, definitely. And with Elizabeth, I just decided to call, you know, I am her on Facebook, and we had this wonderful conversation, and I knew I needed to have her on the show tonight. I just knew we had to continue this conversation, and we've been blessed to have you on here, too. Now, the time is getting short, but I do want you both, I'm going to start with Elizabeth, to tell a little bit about your practice, and if anybody does want to get in touch with you for a paying session, please to give you a please give your information so how people can get in touch with you.
Okay.
Elizabeth?
Well, I am. Thank you for that little introduction and invitation to share what I do and who I am. I'm a spiritual life coach. I'm a psychic medium, a clairvoyant. I'm an avatar master and a Reiki master with 30 years of experience in body work and healing and light work. But I've been psychic since I was 4. So I do communicate with the other side. And most of my sessions are a combination of instruction and reading messages from spirit guides, teachers, ancestors. I have workshops, and I have a teleclass that I do every week. So it's wonderful. My website is ElizabethAlicia.com. My last name is A-L-E-C-C-I-A, ElizabethAlicia.com. And my phone number is 310-849-9617 if anybody wants to get in touch for a session or find out about a class. That's where you can find me.
And Ken, your turn.
And Ken. I am Ken Roberts, and I recently have started using the title metaphysician. It just seems easier than trying to explain 11 different letters after my name and 30 years of body work and energy work. And I'm a Reiki master. I've certified in shiatsu and massage and Lestone and reflexology and chromotherapy and internationally certified as an aromatherapist. And recently I've been, when I went into the spirit of the crisis of spirit, I started focusing more on alternative health care, on the physical body, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. So I've been doing ionic foot baths, which lower the blood sugar in uncontrolled diabetics. And I'm currently working on opening up a wellness center here in Yuma, in the middle of nowhere, where I've discovered that there is one naturopath, one nutritionist, there are three acupuncturists at least, and maybe three or four Reiki practitioners here in town, but we're pulling everything together, and we found an investor. Anybody who's interested in finding out more about what's going on in Yuma can reach me at R-E-V, that's like as in Reverend, R-E-V-Ken, 2003@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 520-977-3218. So definitely having a lot of fun right now, actually, here in Yuma. I have a lot of old friends here, so I've reconnected with them. And at the same time, I'm meeting this whole new tribe, this whole new family that's been hiding in the shadows here in Yuma. So there's still a lot of hidden family members out there, and I want to bring them all out of the woodwork.
Yes, and it is amazing how people from the past, and it's very interesting how many people I've connected to. Long time. I mean, it's been like 30 years since I've met some of these people or even heard from them, and they're coming out of the blue, and I'm just going, how you doing? It's like no time has passed. And and a lot of new people coming into my life, and it really has been a wonderful experience. And, yeah, I'm glad that I'm still here. There was, like probably both of you, you've had those exit points, and you're still here. And you wonder when the next one is going to be because it's all in spirit's hands, yet you're creating it. So, there was just a new moon. The full moon was just here. Did either of you really feel a shift from?
Yes.
Oh, huge.
I mean,
and today Neptune went direct again too, which is helping a lot with the foggy head and fuzzy mind. So that's also good.
I'm very clear that there is going to be a major shift at the winter solstice. The change that we're feeling, there's a shift. It's in the wind. You can feel it. And I don't.
Most definitely.
We'll see what happens on the winter solstice. Something
I have a suggestion for another show sometime, too, and that's the 2012 issue.
Right.
Because I actually decided to stay and stick around on this planet just to find out what humanity decides to do in 2012.
Well, we also have November 11th, which is also coming up next week, which is also another huge portal and shift leading up to the winter solstice. Do either of you want to venture what that's all about?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
November 11th. It's 11-11-11.
Oh, yes, 11-11. You know, I just got a message from Debbie Ford on 11-11. I don't know. I don't have a feel for that.
Ken, do you have any insights or information on November 11th?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, well, we just had 090909.
Right, and 1010, so.
Yeah, and that was a pretty intense shift even then. But the 11-11, you know, a lot of people thought that the harmonic convergence was over and done a long time ago. It's not a one-time thing. It's happening in phases, just like the rest of the frequency shifts are. And that 11-11-11 is going to be a very, very powerful preparation for the next year's changes. When we talk about going in across the border and reaching that other side, you know, there's all this speculation of, like, the Left Behind books. Is it going to be like that, where half the population just transcends this third dimension and no longer exists here? How is it going to play out? Well, a lot of that's going to start coming clearer during that 11-11-11. We're going to start seeing what's really going to be going on. There could very well be, and I almost hate to even go here, but the energy that I've been looking at around that is showing a first contact.
It's very possible. I mean, I just really feel that it's really going to be balancing the energy of the male and female into a more really consistent energy of purely being balanced in the female and male. I mean, it has been a very male energy for a very long time, and the feminine energy really is becoming more powerful and needed to soften and become more compassionate. And that's one thing that I'm noticing with the bank situation and the economics is that's what people are really screaming for, is compassion. And they're not getting it, at least not from a lot of the establishment. They're just like, yeah, we're here, but we don't care. It's all about the money for the banks and some of the financial institution and even some of the government. And that's going to change. I mean, I went to a conference in 2005, and they were predicting another civil war because of the financial situation, the economy being bad.
There's been a lot of rumbling about a revolution.
I got in trouble politically.
Yeah, I mean, everything, especially since Pluto is in Capricorn now, that's all about restructuring, total restructuring. So it will be very interesting to see what is upcoming in the next few months and then on from there. I do want to, because we only have a couple more minutes left, I do want to invite both of you to be back on to have another discussion at another time. I've really enjoyed this discussion and having this insight. I've been wanting to do this kind of panel discussion for some time, and, you know, it just magically happened, and that makes it all the better. But we only have about a minute, and I do want to thank Elizabeth Alicia in California for being on, and Ken Roberts in Yuma for being on. I will put your information on my webpage on BBS Radio so people can find you if they didn't get that down. So I will go back right now and put that information on the page so people can find you. And this is been a very interesting time, and I thank you all for listening, and God bless us all for hanging in there. And it is going to get a little easier. It's just one day at a time, and that's the best way to do it. Enjoy each motion with as much joy as you can, but, you know, if you feel a little down, it's okay. Just don't hang on to it too long. And with that, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspiration. Until next time, many blessings and good night.